Peter B. Collins News and Comment. It's Friday, October 25th, 2013. There's a journalist in jail in Alabama still.
I'm in jail. Hello, Dad. I'm in jail. Hi, Dad. I'm calling you from jail. Hi, Dad. Happy birthday. I'm in jail. Jail.
That's a wacky, funky tune from Was Not Was. And perhaps when he is finally released, Roger Shuler, the intrepid blogger from Alabama, who is behind bars now on a sequence of bogus, illegal events, maybe he'll be able to laugh at the was not was song, Dad, I'm in jail. Roger Shuler's already spent two nights in jail in the lockup in Columbiana, Alabama. Today, they held a hearing and granted him bail on the resisting arrest charge. But he remains jailed on two illegal charges of contempt of court. And today, we released an interview without any restrictions. It's not restricted to subscribers. Anybody can hear it from day one. We update the plight of Roger Shuler and his wife, Carol, and talk with Andrew Craig of the Justice Integrity Project. Craig has supported the work of Roger Shuler by publishing his articles at the Justice Integrity blog. And I will put up a link in the show file for this podcast to the article that Andrew Craig wrote about the current situation. And I invite you to listen to the full podcast, the in-depth interview that's available at peterbcollins.com and through our various feeds at TuneIn, at Stitcher, at iTunes. And I invite you to share widely these podcasts. For whatever reason, Facebook refused to allow me to pay money to promote my post. And it's not because of the content about Alabama and Roger Shuler. It's some little technicality that there's too much text in my graphic. So I invite you to use Facebook to grab my post and share it with your network of friends. Because there's a media blackout. Alabama media not covering this story. The national media think it's just a local story. But it has national implications. A journalist is being silenced. He has been illegally ordered to take down articles that he's written without a finding of defamation, simply a charge of defamation. And now he is being held, perhaps indefinitely, until he agrees to the judge's terms or finds some other way out. And this judge, who doesn't have a courtroom, he's a retired guy who was picked by Roy Moore, the far-right justice of the Supreme Court in Alabama, the guy who imposed the Ten Commandment monument at the state capitol. Well, he's part of the Republican machine, and he's protecting Rob Riley, the son of the former governor who displaced Don Siegelman in the shenanigans that occurred over 10 years ago. Roger Shuler has documented the injustice of the so-called justice system in Alabama, and now he is a victim of it. Here's a quick excerpt from my conversation with Andrew Craig, updating the current status of Roger Shuler behind bars.
Well, the status is false hope on his part that if the $1,000 bail can be met on his resisting arrest charge, he could get out. I just talked to the bail bondsman's office, which, you know, deals with these kind of situations every few minutes, I suppose, as opposed to a prisoner who's never been arrested. And they said what Roger doesn't know is that there's two contempt of court charges pending with no bond. Mm-hmm. And so the judge could hold him in jail indefinitely. And if it's kangaroo court, they probably will. And so Roger is waiting to get out for the weekend. His wife is totally confused. She's at home without internet, without money, and she's worried about being arrested if she steps a foot out the door herself on contempt charges, which are bogus because they're holding her responsible for everything that he does when he's He's the blogger. She's the wife.
As mentioned, I hope you'll listen to the full interview with Andrew Craig. We go into great detail, including new information about the sequence of events that led to the incarceration of Roger Shuler. And most notably, Carol Shuler, his wife, reports that there was no warrant presented or even referred to when the cops came and they roughed up Roger Shuler. He has an injury to a knee. His face is very puffy, perhaps from the mace that they sprayed him with. And from beginning to end, as we detail in the conversation with Andrew Craig, the law is just being bulldozed in order to silence Roger Shuler. And we must speak up. We must resist this. And I can't underscore enough how much the Shulers need your help right now. Now, we are working hard on my side to help find lawyers, to get Roger Shuler's case before a neutral judge and hopefully release him from jail very soon. But they're in dire financial straits, and if you can contribute at the legalschnauzer.blogspot.com site, I will be much obliged, and I'm putting another $50 in today to help the Shulers through this difficult time. We will continue to cover this, and I have heard from a lot of new listeners in Alabama. Maybe you were listening before, but there's a lot of interest in Alabama, and I've been receiving emails from people I've never heard of before who are encouraging us to continue, and I want you to know we certainly will. And will not rest until Roger Shuler is freed from jail. We're learning here at our deadline of a report of a magnitude 7.3 earthquake striking off Fukushima, Japan. The worst place in the world this could possibly happen. A tsunami warning has been issued. And so far, I have no further information about the impact at Fukushima, where the crippled reactors have been leaking radioactive water in massive amounts, and the situation is clearly out of control. And we'll continue to watch that and update you in our next regularly scheduled podcast on Monday. I'm grateful to the people who support this podcast, including Michael Gill, the well-named Faith Peoples, Anna Gordonier, and I think it's Marianne Pease, MS Pease. They subscribe and send money in every month to help support this work, and I hope you will do the same. And this coverage that we're doing of Roger Shuler, I have to say, has sidetracked me a little bit, taken a lot of my time. It's very important, and I plan to continue to do it. But the cost to me is that I can't do the other work that generates an income. And so, without wheedling or begging or trying to make you feel bad, I just want to encourage you, if you're in a position to support this, to log on to peterbcollins.com. You follow the links under my picture that say sign up. $5 a month, cancel anytime. The best deal is our $50 annual subscription. And new annual subscribers get a copy of Spying on Democracy, our new bonus book by Heidi Boghossian. And while it lasts, a bag of kick-ass Kona coffee supplied by Russ Archibald and his pals on the Big Island of Hawaii. So please support our efforts, and I will be very, very grateful. The other way you can help us is by steering your web business to GoDaddy.com. You know, I've been dealing with them for over 10 years, and some people object to their sexist commercials on the Super Bowl. You're right to say that. But GoDaddy gives great service at low, low prices, and that's what matters most to me. Right now, if you sign up for web hosting with unlimited storage and bandwidth, the rates start at just $1.99 a month, and you'll get your domain name free. To get a screaming deal at GoDaddy that benefits the Peter B. Collins Show, just follow the link at the top of the show file for this podcast at peterbcollins.com. Well, day after day, another important nation, an ally of the United States, pops up and says, "Stop spying on me, Obama." And it's become very personal, because we've learned the latest revelations from the Guardian newspaper, based on the documents supplied by Edward Snowden, that the NSA has been, for many years now, monitoring the calls of 35 world leaders and their private cell phone numbers and private home phone numbers were coughed up by unnamed individuals at the State Department who responded to a request from the NSA to provide this information. And you'd think, well, you know, it's on somebody's Rolodex already, so for the NSA to have it, how is that a big deal? Well, the way they work, when they task a given phone number, they monitor it, and we learned this from the phone call records disclosures. And they build a little map of who calls that number. And then they tap the people who called that number. Then they tap the people who called the number that called that number. You can see how exponentially this grows. And so the White House and the State Department have issued these stupid statements that are insulting to a third grader, saying that we are not monitoring and will not monitor the German Chancellor's communications. But it obviously skirts the issue of whether we have been monitoring Angela Merkel's cell phone. And we have. It's as clear as anything. And when we look at all this, and in a moment I'm going to talk about the once-secret drone program, it's time for the United States to come clean. They're playing a ridiculous game. They know what Ed Snowden has. They know all of it. Because they have access to all that classified information, too. And why they are playing these games where they wait for the embarrassing information to be published, and then they have to react to it and apologize and try to explain it away? It's time to end this stupid game. Keith Alexander should be fired tomorrow. General Clapper should be replaced immediately. The Obama administration should at least come clean on the most obvious disclosures that will surface from Ed Snowden in the near future. The idea that we can pretend that these programs are secret, that the targets are secret, when it's been exposed and the emperor is stark, raving, naked. The United States' credibility is shredded, and the only way to restore it is to disclose, reveal what we have been doing, and make clear that we are dismantling the apparatus and firing the people who made it possible. Anything short of that will not fix the problem. And yeah, people want to blame Chelsea Manning for the WikiLeaks release of those classified State Department cables that weren't even top secret. They were either secret or they were supposed to be kept secret from foreign governments. And yes, they were embarrassing. But they exposed the duplicity that the United States operates under on a regular basis. And sure, I'm not naive. I know that other nations spy on us. And I know that other nations have secrets and, you know, we play games. I understand that France does know some of the monitoring programs, and Germany probably does too. Some of this is public posturing for domestic consumption in those respective countries. But the bottom line is that we are now exposed for intercepting 70 million phone calls in France in a single month last year. And it's intolerable and unacceptable. And it's fundamentally hurting the United States and its relations with many other countries. And we play these games where you say, well, we're not going to do it in the future, we're not doing it now. And who is kidding whom? And until now, the Obama administration has been reluctant to cut a deal with Germany where we say, we won't spy on you if you don't spy on us. They're mainly afraid that if we do that with Germany, that every other ally of the United States will ask for the same. But in the same breath, in the detailed article in the New York Times about this, they acknowledge that all of this spying on our friends and allies hasn't produced anything of real value. We are addicted to secrecy. We're addicted to spying. And I don't think there's a 12-step program for it. we've got to go cold turkey. Now to the drone program and the visit of Pakistan Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif to the White House this week, where after Malala Yousafzai lectured the president about drone strikes in Pakistan, its leader felt safe for him to do the same. And likewise, there's a double game here. Pakistan did play along for many years, particularly under Pervez Musharraf, the guy we could buy for billions of dollars, and Bush made the payments to him, and he acquiesced. But I'm going to link to an important analysis piece by our friend Gareth Porter. It was just published today, because as the leader of Pakistan came to the United States this week to meet with the president, Bob Woodward at the Washington Post was the beneficiary of official leaks. These are the kind nobody ever gets punished for. Leaks of CIA documents showing the complicity of Pakistani leaders who secretly told the U.S., you can use drone strikes, we will protest mildly for domestic consumption, and then we'll let it go. Well, that was 5 or 6 years ago. And Porter does a great job in this article of laying out the history. And that what really changed is after a CIA contractor, and you probably remember this story, shot and killed two Pakistanis who he thought were trying to kill him. And then the U.S. won his release without any trial in Pakistan. Well, the very next day, the CIA carried out a drone attack on what it thought was a gathering of Haqqani Network officials, but was actually a meeting of dozens of tribal and subtribal elders and leaders from all over North Waziristan. And so General Kayani issued the first ever denunciation of the U.S. drone campaign by a Pakistani military leader. That was in 2011. That's when the tide turned. And this clumsy leak by the CIA trying to undermine the demand from Pakistan that we stop our drone attacks that are violating their sovereignty, killing innocent civilians, and really creating blowback that brings the next generation of jihadis. It's in our best interest to stop this madness. And once again, the addiction to secrecy and the pretense that these drone strikes and the program itself are still somewhat secret? Who are we kidding? Well, not I, I'll say that. The Constitution of the United States guarantees us the right to a speedy trial. Do you think that a 5-year delay counts as a speedy trial? Well, that is the insulting ruling of a federal appeals panel in Manhattan, as they unanimously said that Ahmed Khalfan Gailani, the only former Guantanamo detainee to be tried in the American civil court system, that a 5-year delay of his trial on 280 counts where only one was sustained in conviction, that doesn't violate the speedy trial guarantee in the Constitution. The panel acknowledged that a 5-year delay was substantial, but it said the Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the government may purposely delay trials for significant periods of time so long as, on balance, the public and private interests render the delay reasonable. What kind of bullshit is that? And this is so outrageous. He is appealing his conviction on a single count of conspiracy to destroy government buildings and property. 279 charges against him were either dismissed or he was found not guilty. And to add the insult that a 5-year delay amounts to a speedy trial, it just shows how the courts have lined up in deference to the administration. And you cannot get justice if you're labeled a terrorist detainee in the United States today. I've kind of refrained from commenting on the glitches in the Obamacare websites, because it's a target for Republicans who are just piling on and using it as the latest excuse to attack the Affordable Care Act. And you know, I'm not a fan of the Affordable Care Act. I want a single-payer program. And yet, it's inescapable that they've really effed this up. They had 2.5 years minimum to get these websites set up and tested. Contractors were on Capitol Hill this week acknowledging that they weren't able to conduct end-to-end tests of the system until a week before the October 1st launch. And now they're backpedaling. And you can understand the Obama administration may have seen these glitches coming, but because of the government shutdown, the whole drama of the Republicans trying to defund Obamacare or delay Obamacare, they were caught. They felt they couldn't admit any weakness. Now they're paying for it. And I still have not been able to, part of it's just my schedule and I've been busy, I have not found the time to log on and find out if the rates that I can get at the exchange are lower than the extortion that I'm paying for health care right now. I hope so, but I don't know. Someday I'll find a website that works and figure it out. I was in Detroit last week where the bankruptcy proceedings continue. And the emergency manager, Kevin Orr, was in court. The governor is supposed to testify this week. And the question before the court is just how insolvent is Detroit? Is it the $18 billion that the Republicans say? And does it justify taking it out of the hides and the limited pocketbooks of pension holders, people who worked for the city of Detroit and retired, expecting a guaranteed income for life? But, of course, bankers are more important than people, and they'll honor the bondholders, I believe, over those with pension rights in Detroit. We'll continue to follow that. The Food and Drug Administration has announced a crackdown on some people's favorite painkillers, OxyContin, Vicodin. Most people call Vicodin Vicodan, but the last three letters are D-I-N. I guess if you take enough of it, you call it Vicodan. And I have some friends, how can I put it? I don't think they're addicted to Vicodin, but they're habitual users. And we know what happened to Rush Limbaugh, the poster boy for the abuse of OxyContin. He lost his inner ear. He is, technically deaf for life. And he got so strung out, he ended up in rehab for a while. And now the FDA is saying that they recognize the abuse of these painkillers, and they want to put limits on the number of refills that you can get. Well, I understand the desire to do something, but for people with chronic pain, to put artificial limits on their access without any finding that they are addicted or on the verge of being addicted, I think is pretty unfair. And I'm a lucky guy. I'm 60 years old, and, I've had bouts of pain here and there over the years, but never the kind of chronic pain that so many people I know endure on a daily basis. And so it's a balancing issue, and that's why doctors should be involved, not just some rule that limits you to X number of refills of these powerful painkillers. And finally today, we now know, at least to some extent, who fueled the last-minute electoral push in 2012 here in California, trying to kill the ballot measure that raised taxes and balanced the California state budget? The chair of the California Fair Political Practices Commission yesterday announced that they have figured out how this money was funneled into California. It started off with the Koch brothers, Charles Schwab, real estate mogul Eli Broad, and I think one of the founders of The Gap. The reason I have to speculate here is that while the Fair Political Practices Commission announced a record fine against the groups involved in this, They didn't go so far as to actually name the individuals who provided the millions of dollars. A total of $15 million was pumped into negative ads at the very last minute during late October, early November last year here in the Golden State. And they created a labyrinth of organizations, the American Future Fund, the California Future Fund for Free Markets, the Center to Protect Patient Rights, Americans for Job Security, Americans for Responsible Leadership. All of these are just filters for money laundering to disguise the origins of the money from millionaires who wanted to defeat the increase in income and sales taxes that were used to bridge the shortfall in funds here in California. Now, the FPPC has announced that these groups will be fined an amount equal to what they put into the campaign. And for you and me, having to cough up $15 million, that would be a real penalty. But if you're the Koch brothers, if you're Chuck Schwab, well, these are relatively piddling amounts of money, and the fact that you got caught is a badge of courage, and if you have to cough up an equal amount to make this thing go away, well, that's just politics, ain't it? In an America where the Supreme Court supports the open bribery and corruption of our campaign finance system, to see a group of millionaires get a little slap on their Rolex-banded wrist, not a big deal. Thanks for listening to my news and comment. Please do whatever you can to support the Shulers and share this podcast with everybody you know. Thank you very much.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.